Alright, so the Bechina will be on Sunday. If anyone has any problems with that, they should say that now. I mean, not right now, but like, talk to people.
How long is the Bechina usually?
It's normally like 10 to 15 questions. And Rebbe will ask, I mean, I'll give examples. But normally he'll just say a main makor, and then just say, tein makoros a beer. So it's very vague.
Like, and talk about Motzi Mechavera.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be like, what's the source of Motzi Mechavera? Tein makoros a beer. And then you could really go off. You could just literally answer the question, or you could go off forever and branch off like Rebbe does in Shir. So what I would suggest, if you're a first-year guy, then you should try to just give as much information, even if it's more than answering the question,
right,
just to kind of show that you, I mean, if you know it, obviously, just to kind of show Rebbe that you know it. And if you're a second-year guy, like, more just really answer the question. That's what I would suggest. But they're really essay-style questions, and they're really kind of like Herb Sachs. He quotes a marker, and he kind of branches off. So it's kind of like the question. He'll quote the main idea, then if you want, you can branch off. You don't have to. But, and he doesn't give like the test back, so you don't necessarily know. I don't know if this should be recorded. I don't say. So you don't necessarily know if you're doing well or not. I mean, you're probably just gonna know if you're able to answer the questions. But like, if you're able to answer like 10 questions really well and like 3 questions you don't really know, like I'm saying, and you have good attendance, you'll probably get an A anyways. So, any questions on that? No. Okay, fine. So we have a lot to cover. I want to cover basically the first 7 shiurim, which the main topics we discussed was Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya and Chazak in general, and then Kinyan Geneva, and then Chazakah how many times? 3 years, 2 times, 3 times, Gemara Yevamos over there, Vestos, Shor Muad, and then a few of the Havminas in the Gemara, how we compare it to Shor Muad. And then finally, Chasid Yerushalmim, exactly what's the Makor, Deoraisa, Derabanan, Deramban on Mendez. So we'll see if I'm able to get through all of it. I don't know. And by the way, this is open for questions. And the goal here is not to for you to understand what I'm saying, not to like nitpick or argue what I'm saying. I mean, you could do that too, but that's not the goal. So like, I might say, like, I think we should move on if you want to discuss it afterwards. Okay, fine. So first we discussed, so the first two shirim were basically the Hakdama shir, and we discussed the Sugya Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya. And the Makar, I'm basically going to be following here, so you could either, whatever you want. So the Makar is in Bava Metzia and then Bava Met Aleph. Over there, the Gemara is discussing if you have Shor Shenachas Apara, you have a Shor Gores another par, and you see, and there's a Uber on the side, there's a fetus on the side, and you don't know whether the Shor killed the fetus as well or not. So we say, Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya, whoever has possession, we let him keep it, and therefore you're not chayiv to pay for the Uber as well. And the Gemara asks, what's the makar for this din? So quotes a pasuk, "Mivel dvarim yigash aleihem raya." Yigash aleihem to bring a raya. You have to go and bring a raya to be take something out of someone else. And then the Gemara rejects this, and it says it's a svara. That's a svara. Something's hurting, you go to a doctor and you have to determine what's the issue. So therefore, it's a svara. And it seems like the Meskan of the Gemara is that it's actually a svara. However, Rashi and Gittin on Memches, in the Meskan Motzi Mechavera, he says you need Eidim to be Motzi because of a pasuk. So we explained why the Rabbi says this in the Pnei Yeshua makes this idea famous. Why does Rashi need to quote a pasuk? So we said that really it's a svara. The principle of Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya on its basic level is a svara. The pasuk teaches you that you need eidim. That's why Rashi, when he quotes the pasuk, it's an additional din that you need eidim to be motzi. So we see that a Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya is a very, very strong raya. That the only thing that could uproot it is considered eidim. And we see this from the following makoros that seem to say that chazaka is really, really strong. The chazaka of a muksak is much stronger than other type of chazakas. For example, the Rif in Ksubos and Daf Tes says that if two Eidim say a Dayan was a robber, he was a ganav, and therefore he's not a kasher Dayan, and then two Eidim say he's not a kasher Dayan, so we're not allowed to use that Dayan anymore to be, even though it's a suffix, whether he's kasher Dayan or not a kasher Dayan, because the Motzi Mechavera Lavaraya, You need to have, even though he has a cheskos kashrus that originally he was kasher, but since he would be, if he would say someone's chayav to pay, you know, $100, you would be motzi that $100 based on the principle of motzi lechol araya. You're not allowed to listen to, you're not allowed to, that dayan cannot paskin. So that's where that's one example where we see that motzi lechol araya is a stronger chazaka than a cheskos meikara. Another nafkamina is in the sugya bar v'shema lav bara adif. Then in general, it makes sense to assume if one person claims bari, that, you know, I definitely deserve $100. Another person says I don't think he does. It makes sense to assume that we would follow the bari claim. But the Gemara Metzia on Kuf Yud Ches says that in the that when it's bari v'shema going against someone who has a muksak, we follow lav bari adif, and therefore the shema person would win. So that's again how we see how strong Chazak is. And then, if anyone has any questions, like, feel free to ask. And the next example is in the Sugya of Yachloku, of a Safik versus Vaadai, that there seems to be a stira from when we apply, there seems to be two different types of Yachlokus. The Gemara Brah Matzia in the beginning, the first parak, has a famous case of Shnai Moksin Vitalis. And the Gemara said, they're both holding onto a talis and they're arguing over, do you want me to give the background of the cases, or? I don't know. They're both arguing over the talis. So one person says it's my talis, and the person says it's my talis. And you the Mishnah says you're yachloku. And there's a similar case in Bava Basra on Lamadal that two are holding a barak. I don't know what that is. So actually, no, sorry, they're holding onto a boat. I think I misspelled that. What?
They're not holding on. They're both claiming the boat is theirs.
Right. They're both claiming that it's theirs. Right. Exactly. Arbe. I don't know why I wrote barak. That's really weird. Okay, so two are holding on to the arba. So in that case, we do kolda and gvar. So Tosus asks, why don't we say over there yachloku as well? We have the same, seems like the same thing people are arguing. So Tosus answers, one answer is that shnayim ochsin, that since they both have a chazaka in the case of shnayim ochsin vitalis, they're both holding on half of it. So therefore, we could say yachloku, and that's yachloku yachlokus b'toras badai, because there's a chazaka. However, the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Memvav, in the Shor Shanel HaSapara over there, again, I mentioned how, according to Simchas, we don't pass in this way, according to Simchas, you do a Yachok over there. So Yachok over there would be a Yachok of Safek, because no one's actually Muksak in the fetus sitting on the side of the road, in the fetus of the cow. So in that situation, it would be Yachok of Safek. So this third nafkamina is not really, I wouldn't say it's a real nafkamina, it's more nafkamina in Lundis or in Svara, how you understand how yachloku works. When you have a yachloku where they could be muksak, then it's a yachloku b'toras vadai, or it could theoretically be one. While if no one's muksak, then it would be a yachloku of a suffix, which would be according to Simchas in Menbav. And then we saw, and to prove these ideas are nafkaminas, we mentioned cases where there's no muksak, and in those situations, you would have different dinim. So, for example, in what's the classic case of where you don't have any muksak? Classic case where there's no muksak is when someone finds a lost object and he admits it's an avida. And this will come up later on. But for example, a situation there, if you find a lost object, the owner of the object, the morakam, I guess you could call him, the only thing he needs to do to prove that it's his object is he just has to give simanim. Which normally, if you have something that's mine and I say give you some money, you're like, I don't care, I'm holding on to it. So that's a case where we see the uniqueness of the lack of a muksak, even some money will work. And then we had the Rashba Chitin Ksuvos on Tet Zayin Mabez. Normally we assume that you cannot rely on Rove to be motzi mamon. However, in a situation when it's a case of a Shabbos Aveda again, you would follow Rove that if you have a city and most of the people are Jewish, so then you're chayev to do a Shabbos Aveda, even though you're relying on Rove to be motzi, because he's being motzi, I mean, he's not really being motzi to return an Aveda. That's another example where we see that a motzi lechol araya, that a muksak, creates this idea of really holding on to. The case in Ksuvos is a case of when you have the rove of the city are Jews, and you find an item. So if the city was a non-Jewish city, if you're in you're in Kansas, right? So you're allowed to keep it. You don't even have to try to research anything. I mean, you might want to return it because of Kiddush Hashem, but I'm saying You're not chayav to return it at all. However, if most of the city are Jews, then you're chayav to return it. So that seems very strange, because in holchim la menachah rov, that normally we assume that we don't follow rov to return something. Yeah, seemingly you should be able to keep it, because of the principle in holchim la menachah rov. We don't follow rov to assume that most of the city is Jewish, and therefore you'd be chayav in chiyuv hashava, shavas aveda. No, you would not have to return it. That's the Havamina. The Havamina is in holchim la menachah rov. Because of that principle, you shouldn't have to return it. And the Rashba answers that no, this case is different. We only say Ein Holchim Al Menachah Rov when Rov is going against Muksak. But in this case, since you don't believe it's yours, you're not a Muksak. You know it's a lost object. So since there's no Muksak, then Rov would win. So then since Rov would win, we assume that most of the city is Jewish, and then you're Chayav in a Shabbos Aveda. You got it?
Yeah.
This is another proof that Muksak brings. Being a muksa by mom is kind of requires only aiding. If it's not there, then other things will get in.
Right. Well, not aiding, but it's to show you that muksa is stronger than rov. Basically, what we did was we brought cases when you have a chazaka versus other muksa versus other things, muksa wins. So now we see when you're lacking muksa, those other things win. It's just to show it's the same rye on the flip side. As if you look on, basically. A, B, C are like the rye of showing where you have a muksak beating everything out, while D is more cases of no muksak and inferencing the opposite. Okay. And then the Ran Chulin, again, all these cases are about a Shabbos Aveda. The Ran Chulin points out that an Eid Echad will work for a Shabbos Aveda. Now, of course, if you're a muksak, an Eid Echad would never work. That's just another example of this idea. Okay, so then we got into Bira versus Nihog, which I think, if you look at what I have highlighted, I'm not really sure what Reiki Vigor was doing, so this wasn't so clear to me. Because what I thought, when we get there, I'll discuss it. Fine. So the Kovitzer in Baba Basra on Ayin Ches, he has this chakir about Niyog or Biror. That in general, if you have Biror, you have a suffix, right? And you're trying to be a var, the MS of that suffix. Biror is a concept where you're actually trying to figure out what occurred. It's not like we don't know what happened and therefore we're just going to be noheg this way, but we're going to be var what occurred and that's how we're going to pasken. While nihug is more of an idea, we don't know what to do, but we have to do something, so we're going to be menaheg a certain way. While bir is actually trying to figure out what occurred. So the question is, what is chazaka? Is chazaka nihug or bir? So, I don't know, I thought this sugya was very hard, but and the basic idea is you cannot mix and match rise of chazaka, or rise of nihug to rise of bir and vice versa. So, for example, edim is clearly bir, because how do we ever figure out anything? The clearest way to figure out if something is true, if something occurred, is to bring edim and be mevar what occurred. While if you would have a rise of nihug, let's say chazaka's nihug, then you couldn't bring that with edim. So we'll understand. We'll see what this means. Fine. So the Gemara Nida on Daf Beis and Beis is discussing whether a mikvah is pasel, and so you have a mikvah that's pasel, and we assume that everything previously that was told in that mikvah, since the previous time that you checked the mikvah was kosher, we assume that all previous things are tameh because you have a chazaka of tahashta that now the mikvah is kosher. Now that the mikvah is pasel, we assume that psul went all the way back until the previous time you checked it. So that would be a case of nihug, because obviously there was some certain point in between when the mikvah was still kosher, but you totaled it, and therefore those things should be kosher. So since we say all these things are tameh, we don't really know what to do. We don't know where to line when, we don't really know the exact moment when the mikvah became tameh. So therefore, we say everything previously was tameh, and that's a case of nihug. And then the Kovitz Shirim explained that in Gemara Baba Basra and Chav Gimel and Beis, that for Eglu Arufa you follow Karov. You don't know, right, you find this dead body, you don't know where it's, which city is the closest city, which city should bring the Eglu Arufa. So if you follow Karov, the closest city. And the Gemara there, I'm not exactly sure what the context of the Gemara over there, what it brings in Rov, but it says, Rov versus Karov, you follow Rov. So why would you follow Rov? Why is Rov stronger than Karov? Because Karov is just Niyug, we don't know anything about this animal, about this dead body, so we're just going to follow Karo. While Rove is more of a biror, it's more of a way to determine what exactly occurred. We assume if most of the time this happens, it probably happened here also, so that's more of a din of biror. So we're just lining up the categories. And then, like what I mentioned earlier, when you have Edim, Achasha, when you have two Edim going against two Edim, that's a case of Birur versus Birur. There's no more Birur. You can't do anything more than that with regard to Birur. So then, kind of like the rise of Birur are knocked out, and the only approach to then follow is Nihu. That's the only thing that Nihu could help. And the Kovetz Sherem says that Chazaka depends on different cases. And in certain situations, like we saw earlier, Chazaka Dehashta, that would be considered Nihu. While other situations, if you say, I wasn't exactly sure, but I think you're saying, like, if Chazaka follows Rove, if, like, you say Rove of the time, that someone holds on to something, he owns it, then Chazaka would also be Birur. But it really depends on every single type of Chazaka. And then we had, I didn't put this on here, but I was listening to the Ellie earlier today. Yeah, sorry.
So Rove always beats Nihu, so we have to say that Peskis Mammon is considered a Birur, meaning that since he outlawed it before, and he's a Mutsu, can't simply just knock it out of the
way. I mean, it depends. It's also Xeris Kasev, but it seems like Lamask, all you have to rash is what's Lamaskana. But, can I answer your question again? I don't really.
I'm not sure if this is what I'm trying to say, but I thought maybe that Festus Mum was more of a beer as opposed to. Because if it's in general, we have
right.
We have something that's a Birur or something that's a Nihu. Nihu says we don't know, so we'll do this. And Birur
right.
says no, we do know.
Right.
And therefore,
so
we can push aside any Nihu within my cover.
Right. So that's what I originally thought. I thought Birur should be Chesus Mammon should be Birur. Then the Nesivos right here said it's Nihu. When he's
right.
So I agree with you. When Ellie and I were discussing this, that the Xos asks. What was the case? There's a case of, all right, you have the Shulchan Aruch Pasken that if you have two Edim, they sign a shtar, right? And they find a shtar, right? That's the case, right? They find a shtar, and the shtar was found a year ago, right? And the Edim are found to be pasul now. So we assume that shtar, we still rely on that shtar, even though these Edim are pasul now, because the shtar was already. It's Rish Lakish says in Gittin that the star is Kamosh and Echber Yedus and Abeis Din Dami, so therefore we rely on that star. However, if you find the star right now, and the date of the star is written a year ago, we don't rely on that star, because maybe the Edim right now wrote the star now, and they're liars, and they wrote the date, that it was signed a year ago, it really was signed right now, so we don't follow them. So Luxos asks, how is this case any different than the case in the Tartula Ryusa in Nidan Daf Beis? Bays on bays. That over there, again, to the case of the mikvah that we mentioned earlier, so what do you have? You have a kli that was tameh. You dipped it into a mikvah. And after you dipped it in, we found out the mikvah's pasul. So you have three things going on here. First of all, the kli has a chazaka mikara that it was tameh. So that's one tart of the reyusa, that's one of the reyusas. And then you also have a chazaka dehashta that the mikvah is pasul now, so therefore it was pasul earlier. So that's two negatives. And you have one positive. The one positive is that the mikvah originally was kosher. You have chazaka mikara. The mikvah was originally kosher at one point, and maybe when you dipped it in, it was still kosher. So it's hard to reuse us. So the Gemara over there, Nida says, we assume that the kli is still tameh. So there we pass in there to tameh. While here, with regard to the star, if you found the star a year ago, we assume the star is good. But here you also have a Tartu Ryusa. First of all, you have the Edim have a Chazaka Dehashta that they're bad. So that's one negative. And you also have this star, you're trying to be Motzi Mamon. So you're going against, so you have two bad things. You have a Chazaka Dehashta that's negative, and you have a Cheskas Mamon that's negative also. And you have one positive that Chazaka Mikar that the Edim were good. That's the Xosis Kasha. I think I'm really getting sidetracked. I don't know, but you guys got the case? So Xos answers that the difference is that in the situation of the mikvah case, it's slowly becoming puzzle. That originally the mikveh had 40 sa'ah, and slowly, you know, it evaporates little by little, little by little. While in the case of the Edim, there was a moment when they were kosher, and there's a moment in their puzzle. Or they did some act, and now they're suddenly puzzle. So he says, in a situation when it's like over time, so when it's over time, then we follow Chazaka Dehashta. However, when it's one split moment, then we could follow Chazaka Mikara. So that's how he distinguishes between these two cases. The Nesivo says, how do you distinguish between those two cases? They're not comparable at all. He says, the case of the mikvah, everything you're dealing with there is biror. The two charges of uses are biror, while over here, when we talk about Cheskos Mamon, in the case of the Edim, Cheskos Mamon is a case of Nihu. And that's why you can't really compare the cases, and that's why we would follow the aid, we would say the star is good. So, I hear Akasha, the Siva says, not like that though. I don't know why. Yeah.
One thing I was confused about in Shira was that he discussed the case of the Tosas and Nazir, where there are two Nazirim and you didn't know and you assume they go on Chazak Mikara. And he said in Shira that that's not fear, that's Nihuk. Because you don't know and you're just assuming the former status. And then he said later, because the Kuan and the Sivas, he said that's a fear because we assume you go according to the former status. So I was confused. Is that there's an Acholim and Sivas exos about the Chazak and Mikara, or just two ways to look at it?
I'm not exactly familiar with that case, but I think from the Ksos that I just quoted is not talking about Zaki Mikara exactly, it's talking about Cheskos Mamon, but I assume the Ksos would answer the Nesivos that Cheskos Mamon would be Birur, or maybe the Ksos doesn't even hold this concept at all.
No, I'm saying that the...
So...
But the Nesivos is Chazaka Mikara is Niuk. Is Birur, I'm sorry. And then... Okay, I just thought at some point, other point in the show, we also said that we said that the Mikara is Nihuk, so I was confused about that.
I think that is the whole list of Ksos and Zivos. We'll discuss it afterwards. Or if anyone has an answer, they all come there.
That's what I thought.
Right. No, I think so. I'm not familiar exactly with who says what to answer the question well. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, fine. I think we should go to the next sugya. I think by just Benji, like lining those things up, I thought were very confusing the first year.
How what?
Lining those things up, I thought were very confusing the first year. I'll try to go over it, but
yeah.
Oh, Rabbi Kivager, I don't know. I thought that the Rekivator, when I read it, I thought the Ron and Tosis was on the Rekivator side, while Rebbe and Shear seemed to say they're going against Rekivator. So I don't really want to get involved with Rekivator. That's why I have it highlighted. And then I asked Rebbe again, and he basically said the same thing he said in Shear. I'm not really exactly sure. Anyway, so Pinyana Geneva. So the reason why we mentioned this in Shear is really a side point. We wanted to explain how Karka is different than Metatlin. Because in general we say, right, as we just have been discussing, that you have a Cheskas Mamon, and that's the strongest Raya, besides Edim. And so why don't we say the same thing with regard to Karka? Why do you need a Cheskas Gimel Shanim? So the Rashbam of the Basra and Kuf Hei and Beis, which is probably a very key mucker to remember, even though we only said it very briefly, said, oh, you guys can see it, okay, that the reason why, in general, you have a Cheskas Mamon is because whenever you steal that item, you have a certain type of kinyan. The Rashan doesn't say this straight out, but this is how I think Rebbe was reading it. Whenever you have Cheskos Mamon, you have a kinyan gezela, if you have it. So therefore, since you have a kinyan, you have some rights on it, that's why Chazaka works. While for Karka, since we say Karka in an exeles, you don't have this type of kinyan gezela, so therefore, if you're just squatting on land, that's not really a clear ayah. And that's why I think we bought this Rashbam. And then we went on a whole, basically, I think it was half a shear, on proving that we have Kinyana Geneva. So what are the rayas for Kinyana Geneva? Okay. Okay, so first of all, Pesachim Hayam Beis, it's talking about that if you have a chiyuv onsin on something, that makes you nichnas tachas bailim. So if you're a shoel on, I don't know how much this is actually in the Gemara there, but if you're a shoel on for someone's chametz, if you borrow someone's chametz and you have it over Pesach, you are chayiv for bal yirai bal yimatzeh. And the same as if you're a ganav, since you're chayiv for onsin for the chiyuv chametz, you're also chayiv for bal yirai bal yimatzeh. So this shows that you have some sort of kinyan on the object, and therefore you own it. Fine, so that was the first rise. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ayin Beis says you're chayiv for onsin because it is in his mishus. And when we explain that it's in your, when a ganav is chayiv for onsin because it's in his mishus, when we said it's in his mishus, we explain that to mean you have some sort of kinyan. Gemara of a kaman,
you can't say it because of shmira. It doesn't make sense that.
Right, because
so
basic
if
shmira.
It's not my fault.
What? Sorry.
If it gets hit by a lightning bolt, it's not my fault.
Right. How could you? Right. Exactly. So that's the yeah. If you're just a simple shomer, how could you be responsible to guard for onsin? It must be you have some sort of kinyan. It must be you have some sort of aspect of bialus. Okay, and then the Gemara Baba Kama on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph says if you steal a boat, you're putter for using it because you have no kinyanim. However, if you steal an eved, you are chayiv for using it because... No, sorry, excuse me, the opposite. If you steal a boat, you have kinyanim, so ever since you have kinyanim, you're not chayiv for the time that you used it, for the time of rental. However, if you steal an eved, since the eved has a status of karka and karka yon exeles, you don't have any kinyanim, and therefore you would be chayiv to pay for its use because the original owner still technically owns it. Okay. Then the hardest raya was the Gemara in Tmura and Daf Vav, and Rebbe quotes this in many sugyas, just the whole machlokes about Yavi Lomahani. So, oh, I didn't write down who says what. Fine, I think Rav is the one who says Yavi Lomahani. So right, so we have this right many times in the Torah. It says don't do something, and if you so then there's a machlokes in Tmura and Daf Dal through. Right, Rav and Abai. Rav says lo mahani.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but I always remember. I always forget who says lo. Who says? I always write it on my outline, and then this year I forgot. Whatever. But I remember who said lo. Whatever. Okay. So so over there. So if you do something against the Torah, if you do it, is that chalos actually take effect? So Rav says lo mahani doesn't take effect. Well, Abai says the chalos, even though you were over an Isra Torah. You're chayiv for what you did, but nevertheless the chalos is chal. That's what the general machlokus is there. So then the Gemara over there brings many cases which seem to say one clear way, either mahani or lo mahani, and asks the question on that shita, and then that shita has to answer. That's an exception. There's kasuf, whatever. Fine. So I'll try to explain this clearly. Fine. So Tosus asks over there, why. There's a concept called a bechor gets to go to a kohen, but if a bechor is roi to be a korban, a bechor of an animal, obviously, actually not so lot, whatever. The bechor of an animal is roi to go for a korban, then it has to be brought as a korban, and the kohanim can't use it for whatever they want. So it's in the kohanim's interest for the bechor to have a mum, and therefore it'll be possible for a korban, and therefore it's in their interest for it to have a mum. But there's an iser derabanan for them to give the animal a mum. And if they give the animal a mum, then they don't get benefit for it. So Tosis asks, why, if they give the animal a mum, why can't they? This is the right of them to give it a mum. Right. Okay. Fine. Thank you. So this is the right of to give the animal a mum. But if you would go give the animal a mum, then midaraisa you can use the animal for hana, but midarabanan you can't. So according to Rava, midaraisa you also should not be able to get hana, because iavid lo mahani. If you give it a mum, the chalos of a mum should not take effect, and therefore it should be like a regular tom animal with no mum, and therefore it should be you shouldn't be able to get hana. Anyone get Tosa's question? Fine, I'll say it again. So. Actually, I'll go on and we can discuss it afterwards if you want. So, taking a lot of time. Fine. So, So his answer is, in a situation when something could happen naturally, that is not part of the machlokas Rav and Abaye. But since naturally this animal could have received the mum, if you would go ahead and give it a mum yourself, that would not be, it's not part of the machlokas Iyabi Lomahani. And Rav doesn't, it doesn't enter in this machlokas. So that's background for the following case. So the Gemara later on in Temura asks specifically about Lo Sigzal, that if you steal an item, and then you steal a board, and then you change the board into a chair, you're a kohen of that board, and now you're chayav to pay money, but you don't have to give back that, you don't have to give back that chair, because you have a shinui kohen. So the Gemara asks over there, why should you have a shinui kohen? Iyavi lo mahani. If you go ahead and you do an isur gezeila, it should be lo mahani. So we pointed out from Tosfos that according to Tosfos' explanation of Yavi Lomahani, the Gemara answers with some Xeris custom, it's an exception. The Gemara should have answered with Tosfos' answer, that since there are certain situations where you could have a shinui kona that occurs naturally, that if you steal like a young calf and it grows into a cow, that's considered a shinui, since it can occur naturally, so therefore this case of the Gemara should be mufka from the whole sugya of Yavi Lomahani. So how could the Gemara ask from the case of shinui kona? So we answered that what is the Gemara asking on when asking shinui kona? Is it asking on the shinui which you get the kinyan for, or is it asking from the original maisa gezeila? So we say it must be that it's asking from the original maisa gezeila, and it must be there's a kinyan. And when the Gemara asks, and therefore you can't give the answer of like tosas that occur naturally, because the act of gezeila cannot occur naturally. That's why the Gemara had to go for another makar, for another zeris kasuv, of why even the Yavi Lomahani does not apply in this case. I don't get that. That's a really complicated raya, but that's a raya that can't ignore. They want to discuss it afterwards. Okay, discuss it afterwards. Fine. So then the final raya is from Kedushin and Beis and Aleph, that if you steal something from your kala, right? If you're engaged to her, you steal something from her. It's not a good idea, but you could do it, and then you give it back to her. You mikdash with their own gazela, it's mikudeshes. So the question is, how is it mikudeshes? So Rashi explains it works because you're mocha, because she's mochal. Since she's mocha, therefore it works for to be mikudeshes. So the whole question is, when you're a mikdash woman, you have to own the thing you're giving her. So if she's just mocha, that's not a kinyan. So where was your maisa kinyan? So it must be there's a kinyan geneva, and since you have a kinyan geneva, and she's just mocha on your chiyuv hashava to her, that allows you to be mikdash her. Yeah, so it's
he's coming to Rav and it works. He said, what's the Kimla? So he's like, what does it do for him? So
wait, when I went over this, I did learn it.
You say, since he's already Kona by when he took it, and then since Kimla just works to get rid of the Chai returning Hashi from him.
But he still owns it.
But he's already Kona, so.
Right. Yeah, you're right, you're right.
That's
another right. Yeah, that's another right also. Which is on the same Gemara as 109 days. I thought I put them both down. So I was about to say there are two riyas from this case. I didn't put them both down. But yeah, you're right. Okay. Fine. So Chazaka, how many times? So our Gemara, right? So we have a little background in our Gemara. I think I'm going to... I'll skip the background. It's not really so key. Fine. So I'm going to skip the background. But... Mizar Gemara, right? Chesed Moshanim, you have 3 years. So why three? So we learned from Shor Mua, just like Shor Mua, it's three times. So to here, it's short three times. So we just branched off. Is this really so simple that a chazaka is three times? Is it really so simple that Shor Mua? So simple that a chazaka of Shor Mua is three times. So we went to the Gemara in Yevamos on Samech Dalad and Beis. See, like for example, a question could be: explain the machlokas between. How we passed in the Machlokas Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel in Yevamos on Samech Dalid, Tamer Koros Rebir. And then you could really say this entire thing, basically. I don't think Rebbe would be that vague. He'd probably have a specific question about Vestos, probably also. But I'm saying you could ask a very vague question like that, and then you could really go on for whatever, forever. Then that could be a question. Okay, fine. So the Gemara over there. Has a holus Rebbe. Rebbe says you have a chazaka after two times, and Rishon Gamliel says you have three times. And the Gemara concludes that we kind of, for the halakha l'maisa, we split. That for Nisuin and Malkos, we follow Rebbe. And in the case of Nisuin is if you, is an Isha Kadlanis, that if a woman marries and her husband dies, and then she marries again and her new husband dies, and she marries again and her new husband dies, we don't let her get married anymore. Eventually, we don't let her get married anymore. So how many times do we not let her get married anymore? After court, we pass in like Rebbe, and therefore she could only get married twice. After the second time, we don't let her get married anymore. She has the status of Isha Kadlanis. And then the case of Malkos is a person does an Avera, and he gets Malkos, and does an Avera again, gets Malkos. So then, after the second time, according to Rebbe, he has this chazaka, and we pass him like Rebbe. Therefore, we're allowed to put him in a kippa, which is like a little chamber where he starves, and it's a way of punishment. And eventually he dies. Fine. So that those cases we pass him like Rebbe. And the case of Vestos, which is when a woman's in Nida, so she has a certain cycle for when she sees Nida, when she sees Dam, and a Veses is establishing that cycle. So how many times does she have to see Dam in a row? However you determine what a Veses is, and whether it's a certain day a month or a certain interval, how many times does that interval have to occur? So it has to occur, we pass on the Shulam Leo, it has to occur 3 times. So for example, if she sees it on day 1, then she sees it on day 30, and then she sees it on day 60, and then that'd be twice. And then she sees it on day 90, then she has a Veses for every 30 days. Veses Kavua for every 30 days. So that's the example of Veses. So we follow Shulam Leo, that she has to have that interval 3 times, not 2. And then we had Shor Muad as well. We passed in 3 times. Okay, fine. Wait, I'll skip the things in one. Okay, fine. So on to A. Nimuki Yosef from Chaf Mar Aleph. So how do we explain how we split between Rebbe and Shimon Leo? So Nimuki Yosef says it's really a suffix in halacha. We don't know who to pass in like. So therefore, we follow the general rules of suffix. That since Nisuin is a case of Misa, so Safik Misa Lahaka, I mean, whatever, Safik Misa Lahaka, we're mocking him Pekilch Nefesh, therefore we're not going to let her get married again. So that explains that case. In the case of Malkos, we're mocking her, so he'll stop doing Chatayim, so therefore we'll even after the second time, we will put him in the Kippa. Actually, sorry, I think it's after the third time, but he has the Chazak after the second time. And then Vestos, since Vestos are Darabanan, therefore we Safik Darabanan Makula, and therefore we're going to go an extra time to make her. To make her a nida based on her veses, and then a shor muad, well, not really make her a nida, but whatever, the halakha is a veses, and for a shor muad, since the case of motzi mamon and saving mamon makula, so therefore again we rely on to the third time to make him a shor muad to be chayv nezek shalom. Fine. So there are many problems with this Nimuki Yosef. So the first is, the Karanor asks, how could it be that to become a Muad, you need 3 times to become Muad, because it's Safik Mamon Lekula, but then if for Chazara, for the animal to return to become a Tam, we would say Safik Mamon Lekula, and we'd go Safik Mamon the opposite way, and we'll only need 2 times. So it's a big Chiddush that for an animal to become a Muad, it needs 3 times, to become a Tam, it needs 2 times. That's one problem with Muki Yosef. The other problem is for Vestos. Is it really so clear that Vestos are Durabanuk? So, first of all, it seems to be a machlokas amoraim, Rav and Shmuel. Rav seems to say it's Darabanan, that if a woman on her veses, she has to do a bedika, she has to check if she sees Dam. And if she forgot to do a bedika, you assume that there was no Dam. So that seems to be a din Darabanan, that really we assume that there's no Dam, but as a chumra, we want to check. So that assumes that's Darabanan, like the Mut Yosef. However, Shmuel says it's Deoraisa, that if she would not check to see Dam, then she would have the status of Nida until you check. So that's assuming that's really Deoraisa. Then we have a whole list of Makaros. Some say it's Deoraisa, some say it's Darabanan. And then the Rambam is the most complicated Shita. And Reb Chaim kind of explains the Shitas of Rambam, and that's how we get a complete understanding of what Vesis is in terms of Deoraisa, Darabanan. So Rav Nisuri Bia, he seems to say it's Darabanan. However, in other places, he seems to say that in terms of the cycle of 7-11, should I explain what that is? 7-11? For Vestos? Yeah? Okay, fine. So we don't do this today. Today it's much simpler. But in the time of Chazal, they had this idea how there's 7 days of Yemei Nida, I think it's called. Tell me if I'm wrong. And then 11 days of Yemei Ziva. And in general, most Rishonim assume the way you count these times, there are different halachas for these times, is that she sees Dam, the next 7 days are called Yemei Nida, and the next 11 days after that are called Yemei Ziva. While the Rambam says, no, you don't actually follow the day she sees Dam, you follow her Yom HaVeses. Then we count 7 days, even if she sees Dam 3 days before, 3 days after, whatever it is, we follow the Yom HaVeses to determine the 7-11 cycle. So this seems very strange because Yom HaVeses is only Derabanan. So how do we have all these Dinim Deoraisa facing off of Veses? So therefore it must be maybe the Rambam holds Deoraisa. So how do we explain this? And then also, if the Rambam in Chicago says that if the husband has relations with his wife and it's not Zman HaVeses, so we assume it's a case of Ones, he's not Chayav HaKorban. However, if it was Zman HaVeses, he's Chayav HaKorban Chatas. That seems very strange. If Veses is only Din Derabanan, how can we have a Din Derabanan that creates a Chiyuv Chatas Deoraisa? So again, we see have a Raya that Veses is Deoraisa. So the Rav Chaim basically explains that really Veses has Chatas Mil Deoraisa and Chatas Mil Derabanan as well. That just like Shor Muad, once the Shor becomes a Shor Muad, we don't assume now that it's going to gore again. We don't say it's for sure going to gore again. That's not what we're assuming in Midaraisa. We're assuming that if it gores again, the owner should have watched out for it. He knows that it's a common thing for the animal to do, and therefore he should be responsible to pay Nezek Shalim. So too with Veses. We're not saying guaranteed Midaraisa the woman is going to see Dam on this day, but if she does, you're responsible, and you should have taken the precautions to explain that. To deal with that. So that's how we have these different aspects of Veses Deoraisa Derabanan. And that's, so basically we ended up off with a Kasha and Nemuki Yosef, which it seems very strange. According to this, how could you say that we follow Veses in general for three times to determine it's a Derabanan, even though it has many aspects of Deoraisa? So probably seemingly Nemuki Yosef would just argue in the Rambam and hold this entirely Derabanan, but that's also very difficult for all these other cases. So then we ended up giving a complete different explanation for the Gemara in Yevamos. And that was nothing to do with Suffolk, who we pass in like, but we said it depends on what the Chazaka is doing. If the Chazaka is trying to determine some sort of pattern that was already there, it was trying to determine some pattern that was already there, then you just need two times. Well, if it's creating a chalos, it's not determining what this animal naturally or habitually, or not this animal, whatever the pattern is, habitually does, but it's creating some chalos halachically, then it would fall three times. And we brought, basically, the two things that fall three times are Shor Muad and Vestos. So the Rav brought many Raya, but the grid is the Rav, if you didn't hear that. The Rav brought Makoros to show that Shor Muad and Vestos seem to be very random and don't follow a naturally logical pattern. So, for example, Rav Avakama Mem Aleph says that to be chayav achi of kofer, right? If you're shor, the shor muad, and gore someone and they die, so you're chayav, your shor dies, you kill your shor, and you're chayav to pay kofer. So the Gemara asks, how could you be chayav kofer? How could the animal ever become a shor muad to kill people? It has to be a shor muad on that level to kill people, because as soon as you kill someone, the animal's going to be chayav visa, so you'd never be able to be chayav kofer. So what's the case? The Gemara says, maybe it's the case of the animal kills, keeps on killing the trefas. The Gemara says, if he's a muad to kill trefas, he's a muad to kill anyone. Or says maybe he's muad, maybe he kills non-Jews. So he says, if he's muad to kill non-Jews, he's muad to kill anyone. So the Gemara concludes, no, it's a case of when the animal constantly runs away, whatever, fine. So what we see from that Gemara, if we're just trying to create a pattern, it shouldn't really matter whether it's a non-Jew or a Jew, or whether it's a trefa or not a trefa. So therefore, it must be that we're trying to create some chalos, some halachic idea, not just a natural pattern of the animal. That's the first raya. And then okay, the next answer is really, really good raya. The Vakama on Chaf Beis and Beis, it says you have three sets of edim come in. The first set of edim say this shore gourd. Second set of edim say the same shore gourd. Third set say the same shape. Shor Gord, and then they're all Zomim. So therefore the Gemara says they should be chayiv to pay in Nezek Shalim. on the level of a short mu'ad, right? So if you want me to go slower, I can go slower. But so then the Gemara asks, maybe they shouldn't be chayav to pay chenezek shalim, because they could claim, I didn't know he was a short mu'ad. I wasn't coming to make him a short mu'ad. I was just coming to make him chayav for as a short time. So maybe I should only be able to be. Maybe I should only pay chati nezek. So the Gemara answers that no, the case is when it gives three explanations. Somehow they knew each other and they were coming to make him a short mu'ad. Either they hinted, they know the owner, not the shorts, therefore they have to be coming to make him a mu'ad, or they heard each other's testimony, so obviously they're coming to make him a short mu'ad and they can't claim that. So Tosas asks, why didn't the Gemara say that it was a shor shel hefker, and therefore they clearly are only making the shor a short mu'ad and not something else, and not just being able to make him chayav and chati nezek? So Tosas answers that to become a mu'ad, you have to be chayav to become a mu'ad. So why do you have to be chayav to become a mu'ad? Why can't a shor shel hefker have the status of a mu'ad? It must be that we're trying to create a chalos and not some natural, logical idea. Yeah? Okay. fine. So then we went on this whole side point in terms of Mashiach Ruach Min Geshem, which related in a very tangential way this idea to proving that shor mu'ad is an idea of chalos and not an idea of something else. But you might have noticed I've changed the order a little bit slightly from Shir to kind of try to link the order better. Fine, so we had the tour, quotes Amaram Rutenberg, that if someone would say Mashmi Ruach 100 times on Shmini Atzeres, immediately he would have a chazaka that if later on he would forget in Shmona Esrei. I have actually a very funny story about forgetting. Or I'll save it for another time though. I should say it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So last Pesach, I was giving a shiur at my shul at home. And no, they have, like, when guys come back to yeshiva, everyone does it. So Rabbi Muskin, he's the rabbi of our shul, he gets up and he said, like, right before he's about to introduce me, so he announces his first day Pesach. First day Pesach. He announces, he says, by the way, he said, you know, we just stopped saying Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem. If anyone did say it, you should repeat Shmona Esrei. So I'm like, oh man, I forgot. I said Mashmi Ruach. Like, I forgot to not say it. So I was like, what do I do? I'm like, I'm speaking in like 2 minutes. So I walked to Rabbi Muskin, in the middle of him speaking in front of the whole shul. I'm like, Rabbi Muskin, I forgot to say Mashmi Ruach. He's like, go repeat Mincha. So I went, and like, I just repeated Shmona Esrei. It was clear what I was doing. I think Rabbi Muskin even made a joke. He's like, I guess it's good I made an announcement. And then my dad kept on asking Shilas about like Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem, like he already knew, just to like stall for time. It was like one of the fastest one Esther's I ever had. It was really embarrassing. So if you ever speak then, or Shmini Atzer, or Simchas Torah, first night Simchas Torah, remember to say Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem, or don't, whatever. It's really bad. Or you could say it 100 times and it'll be okay. So Maram Yerodenberg says that that if you let's say right now. If you would forget, if you have a suffix, whether you said Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem, you would have to repeat Shmona Esrei, unless you were already saying it for a month. The Maram Rutenberg says, why do we have to wait for a month? Just say it 100 times. Say Mechayim Meisi Matar Abloshia Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem 100 times, and then you'll have a chazaka, and you don't need to say it again. And he brings a raya from Shor Mu'ad, just like Shor Mu'ad, that if you would have, according to Shizrei Meir, if you would have three Nekichos right away, he becomes a Shor Mu'ad. So to hear, if you say Mechayim Eisim Atar Eloshia Mashmi Ruach Min Geshem right away, then you should have a chazaka, you don't need to repeat. So the No Debi Huda, this is the important part, he says, I should give background. There's a chogis between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, how do you become a Shor Mu'ad? Rabbi Meir holds, if you have three Nekichos, one after another, in one day, you're a Shor Mu'ad. Well, according to Rabbi Meir, you have to space it out. You have to have one Nekicha one day, then another Nekicha the next day, and another Nekicha the next day to become a Shor Mu'ad. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we pass on Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to have the three Nekichos in three separate days. So if that's the case, why is Maram Rutenberg bringing a raya from Shitzrei Meir that you could even have the three Nekichos on one day? So the Nodi Behuda answers that really Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Svar of Rabbi Meir. Really he agrees that in general, if we're trying to determine a pattern of a chazaka, then if we're just trying to create a pattern, then if you have three Nekichos right away, then of course you become a Shor Mu'ad. since we have Gzeiras HaKasuv telling you need to have three times, and we have the drasha of Tmol Mitmol Shilshom, we have Gzeiras HaKasuv, therefore we see that it must be that we're not trying to create a pattern, we're trying to create something else, some sort of halachic kolos. So therefore, that has to be on separate days. But Rabbi Yehuda would agree, if you're trying to create a pattern, like we are for Mashmir Ruchim Rigashem, then he would also agree that it would work if you just said, did it right away. So that's the Maharal Mironenberg's raya, that Mashmir Ruchim Rigashem is you're trying to create a pattern, while Shor Muad, you're just trying to create a chalos. So that was another raya, that you're trying to create a chalos. And Rabbi Yehuda Peretz argues in Nida Domal Raya, which I think makes a lot of sense. You know, if all of us would start studying Motzi Shabbos for the entire Bechina, you might remember it for the Bechina, but on Monday you wouldn't. So, as Rabino Peretz's Kasha and Mitt Romery Rodenberg, makes a lot of sense also. Okay. So we had the Kiyos Yaakov in Taharos, and I think he... Kiyos Yaakov really has a different chakir. He's not really dealing with the same chakir in terms of like the Rav is, in terms of pattern of chalos, but using his idea, you could fit it in. That for, he says, I mean, the way Rebbe interpreted him to fit him into to our pshat, that a chesed l'shanim, if we're learning it from Shor Muad, it must be a chesed l'shanim. We're not trying to create a pattern, because it doesn't really make sense to create a pattern. What would the pattern be? The pattern would be just like the Morakama wasn't Ma'ara for the last 3 years, just like he didn't live here for the last 3 years, he's never going to live here again. That doesn't really make sense to create that sort of pattern, so therefore it must be we're trying to create some sort of chalos shame that you are the new owner, and that's why it makes sense that Shor Muad would have that same characteristics, that it's some sort of chalos shame. So therefore the whole, when I first started learning, I don't know if you guys were also bothered by this, but when we first learned Chesed Sabbatim, how do you even learn from Shor Muad? It seems very strange. It seems like a completely different concept. Shor Muad is making a pattern, while Chesed Gimel Shanim is like people and land. It seems very different. So with this explanation of the Rav, it seems a lot the learning from Shor Muad makes a lot more sense. So that was what we tried to say for Kilos Yaakov. And we said the same idea with Vestos. That Vestos is also is really it's not creating a pattern, but it's creating a chalos. That, for example, in Yidah on Samach Gimel, it says that if she sees her vestas the exact same hour of the day, she always sees Dom on the 12th hour of the day exactly. That's when she starts her period, exactly the 12th hour of the day. So why don't we say she's just a vestas for that hour, and therefore she should only be poreish from her husband for that hour. And if she doesn't see Dom, then she's mitzvah her husband. So the right answer is no. You could only be a vestas for 12-hour period. It's 12-hour intervals. Either morning 12 hours or the afternoon 12 hours. The night 12 hours. Why 12 hours? It must be it's we're creating some kind of chalos, not some sort of pattern. It's another raya. And the next raya I'm not gonna get into. It'll take too long to explain. So I'm gonna. Basically, the idea is that to create a vessel, you have to have dumb tummy to create a vessel. So why does it have to be dumb tummy? Why does it actually have to give it a nida status if it still comes from the same place as dam nida? So it must be that we're trying to create some kind of chalos, not some sort of pattern. Okay, fine. So those were the riots for vessels. There's just one other riot. I don't know if Rabbi mentioned this in Shira, but the Gemara in Bava Kama, I think it's a man, mentions that if a woman sees Dom on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and if she sees Dom on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and if she sees Dom on Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, then she now has a Vesses for Rosh Chodesh, which seems very strange, because she's a Vesses for the first day of the month. Seems very strange, because some months are Malay and some months are Chaser. So it must be you're trying to create some kind of Chalos, not some sort of pattern. That, I think, is actually the clearest Raya. But...
Why isn't that the
30-29, 30-29,
30-29, 30-29? In general, that's the way.
Right, yeah, exactly. That should be said.
That could be a pattern also.
No, but not every single month is Malay Chaser, Malay Chaser. It could be Chaser, Chaser,
Chaser,
Malay, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's a good point. Okay.
So we're saying the main difference between a pattern and a fellowship is that pattern is always like
Well, that's true, but it's much more than that. It's that a pattern has to follow some sort of logic to it. It should. Like I'm saying, if you would go to one of the science professors and explain like this is how chazaka works, they'd be like, oh, that makes sense. It should intuitively make sense. While chalos, it follows halacha concepts, and therefore the halacha concepts could be even beyond the regular rules of a pattern. That's the basic idea. That makes sense? What?
That Gemara wasn't so easy.
Which Gemara? I heard another answer for that Gemara. We can discuss it later.
Okay.
But, okay, fine.
So we're coming to the conclusion that
Heskes Gilashan is. And that was really the Kilos Yaakov. The main idea was to explain the Gemara in Yevamos. So we had, sometimes we say two, sometimes we say Chazaka needs two times, and sometimes Chazaka needs three times. Right? Yeah?
I'm saying
that's
a pattern
or a full show. Oh, you don't have time out. Look, Vamos. That sometimes a chazaka needs twice, sometimes a chazaka needs three times, right? So, how do we know when to do two and when to do three? So we said, if it's three, that's when it's determining a chalos. You need three times. While for creating a pattern, you just need two times. That was how it really related to us. And then we linked that, once we say shor muad, is three, and Shor Muad is creating a chalos, it must be, since we're learning Cheskes Gimel Shanim from Shor Muad, therefore it must be Cheskes Gimel Shanim is also creating a chalos, and not some sort of pattern. Which intuitively makes sense also, if you think it through. Does it make sense you have a pattern that the original owner won't show up anymore? I think me and you are beyond patterns. Like if I want to show up and say your backpack's mine, your laptop's mine, I could show up now, I could show up in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm not creating a pattern just so I don't show up now. Okay, fine. So, okay, we have 10 minutes. Yeah, I was trying to go through this whole thing, the first 7 shirim, and not give Chazar Shir tomorrow, and then either having, maybe I was planning on having 3 Chazar Shirim, so I could stop now and give this tomorrow, the rest tomorrow. Or I could just like give the Iker points. What would you? Hey, Brevin? But I guess we'll save it for tomorrow. I think I can speak for 10 minutes.
Hey, tomorrow you're only listening.
What?
Hey.
What? Huh?
Hey, tomorrow, how long does your day?
I don't know.
This year?
No, it wouldn't be a whole year.
Do we?
Yeah, we stop now.